Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Hour 2 of Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm Tiki Barber coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Tiki Barber, CBS Sports Radio, an Intercom company. First time we've done that one. John Calipari coming up in about 20 minutes or so. Always great to catch up with Coach Cal. He's so opinionated, so deep, so emotional. Just got knocked out of the NCAA tournament last year before he would have had a chance maybe to meet up with my Virginia Cavaliers. They lost to Auburn in the Elite Eight. Obviously, Auburn made it to the final and lost, again, to my aforementioned Virginia Cavaliers. Lots to get to. Obviously, football at the 40 is also in this hour. But we're going to continue talking about this game last night, Game 5, and particularly in particular, the head coach of the Toronto Raptors, who's done such an unbelievable job in countering everything that Steve Kerr has done, tried to do with his rotations. Obviously, Steve Kerr is managing a ton of injury issues, KD being the most pronounced, but Andre Iguodala is banged up as well. He also has to manage the emotions of Draymond Green, who is a technical foul away from being suspended for a game, so he's got to keep an eye on the emotions of his energy guy. Kevin Looney looks like he's going to be out for the rest of this series after going down hard on that clavicle, which I thought was broken. I'm surprised he was playing, but I'm sure it was like a micro fracture or something, like a small crack and not really a compound break. And so he was able to push through it for a couple of games, but he went down hard and left the game and did not return. But Nick Nurse had been doing a phenomenal job. That was until late in the fourth quarter when he decided to call a timeout that didn't make much sense. They were on a serious run. I think it was 15-2 or 15-3 or something like that. And Kawhi Leonard was insane. Taking every shot, pull up three-pointers, you know, driving into the paint and making shots go down. But for whatever reason, he culled every bit of momentum by calling a timeout when the Warriors were on the ropes. I was actually surprised Steve Kerr didn't go to the timeout route and stop play here and stem it. But Nick Nurse decided to do it, and we all know what happened from then on. The Golden State Warriors were able to breathe a little bit. Steph and Klay traded three-pointers. Klay, then Steph, and then Klay took the lead finally and ultimately had to win it on the defensive side of the ball. But that one moment kind of felt like the turning point, and Coach Nurse talked about his thinking after the game.
We had two free ones that you lose under the three-minute mark. And we just came across and just decided to give those guys a rest. And we had back-to-back ones there that we would have lost under the three-minute mark and just thought we could use the extra energy push.
Sounds like playing prevent defense, right? Just because. And as we all know, for those who like the game of football, it never works that way. Now, this happened with 3:05 left in the game. And after this timeout, a couple of interesting things happen. We all know Klay Thompson is a stud shooter, right? I mean, he's right up there. Not as great as Steph, but, I mean, he scored 37 points in a quarter once. Right? He's a damn good shooter. He's an even better defender. And so what this timeout did, it was it allowed Steve Kerr to put Klay Thompson on Kawhi Leonard. And when you talk to or listen to Kawhi after the game, it's interesting what he points out. Let's listen to what Klay Thompson had to say about Kawhi Leonard's run, and maybe this explains why Nick Nurse called the timeout.
He was a beast there toward the end of the game, but we knew if it was going to be all on his shoulders, he was eventually going to get tired. And I think you saw in that short three-pointer he missed, and even on that last possession, Draymond did such a good job of coming to double, force it out of his hands, make someone else beat us.
Yeah, there it is. Right? I think that the game plan down the stretch for Nick Nurse as they started to have the Golden State Warriors on the ropes was, Kawhi, we brought you here for a reason. We know that you can score any way that you want to. Go score. Right? If you have an opportunity to get an easy assist for someone else, absolutely go do it. But if you have a shot, go take the shot. And we saw it. He had his Michael Jordan moments, right? That's what everybody's calling it. He scored 12 points. He assisted on another one. This 15-2 run the Toronto Raptors went on. But the problem is, when you're coming down and creating basically your own shot for 6.5 straight minutes, you're going to get tired. So maybe that explains why Nick Nurse decided to call a timeout despite the momentum that they had. Because he looked over at Kawhi. He saw Kawhi was worn out. So what happens after the timeout? After the timeout, there's about three minutes left. Klay Thompson is guarding Kawhi, gets in his face, doesn't go for his double pumps, runs out to him, ball comes up short as the shot clock runs out. Next possession, Kawhi comes down, same thing. Klay is in his face, gets a run out, front rims it. And from that point on, we know what happens. Klay hits a three, Steph hits a three, then Klay hits a three. They take the lead. And Draymond does the rest when he doubles up on Kawhi Leonard and Kyle Lowry misses the last shot. As much as you hate to malign Nick Nurse, in some ways, that decision, even if he had just let it go and let Kawhi kind of figure it out, that decision gave the Golden State Warriors life. Now, is that going to be informative for game six? Probably not. But it's an interesting way to lose Game 5, especially at home, when Kawhi Leonard was playing one of his best quarters of the postseason. John Calipari is going to join us on the other side of this break, the Kentucky Wildcat head man who signed a lifetime contract to be there. He's still talking to other teams and stuff, but lifetime contract with the Kentucky Wildcats. Coach Cal is going to join us on the side. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. We're joined on the phone now by one of the all-time greats, already in the Basketball Hall of Fame, Coach John Calipari of the University of Kentucky Wildcats, national champion back in 2012, and he joins us here on Tiki and Tierney. Coach, how you doing today?
Good, Tiki. How are you?
I cannot complain at all. You know, there's so much.
Good.
Yeah,
you sound good.
I feel good. Look, it's beautiful up here today. The weather it's not too hot. It's kind of cool, so it's good to be outside, even though I'm stuck inside for the next few hours or so. But it is what it is. Because there's so many things I could run through with you, and I want to get to Anthony Davis, who I mentioned back in 2012. You won that national championship. He was on that squad, of course. But I keep seeing all of these things happening in college basketball and the transfer world. And it's a little bit, I guess, close to home because your son Brad is in the transfer protocol. He's graduated. He's going to go somewhere and hopefully things will turn out well for him. But when you've looked at how the college basketball roster construction has evolved over the years, what does it make you feel like?
Well, it's hard, but, you know, you've got to think in terms of the kids. Like, my own son graduated in 3 years and has 2 years to play. He may come back, but he's going to explore, look around to see if there's a place where he could play more. Because I say, it's hard to play at Kentucky. It's hard to get minutes. And I sleep with his mother, and it's hard to get minutes. And so, you know, I look at all this, Tiki, and I say, well, one, if kids aren't told the truth or are lied to, why should they have to stay? I mean, it forces you to, you better tell the truth. Better not tell every kid they're going to be your leading shot taker.
Yeah.
You better not tell every kid they're going to be the center of attention. Or you know what? You're going to have two and three and four guys leave a year. So in that regard, I think, okay. But the other side of it is there's more involved now. Now you have agents involved where they can, be with their families, and it kind of takes that in another realm. That may make it harder for all of us, but again, I think you got to think in terms of what is the best situation for these kids.
Yeah.
My mind has always been their name and likeness. They should be like Olympians where, you know, maybe they got to put the money away, but they come back and get it later. That, you know, in our case, we give every kid a lifetime scholarship. They can come back when they choose to come back and finish up. They're insured to a level that's, you know, makes it safe for them to play if something ever happens. You try to do everything you can. And let me say this. No one has had more guys leave than us.
Yeah, of course.
And you know what? It hadn't hurt us. It hadn't hurt me personally. It makes it hard now. Like, I'm aging real fast. But we're winning. We're in Final Fours. We're winning league championships. 40 kids are getting drafted. You know, the turnover every year. I've got a different team every year. Makes it really difficult on me and the staff, but pretty good for the kids.
Yeah, no, I bet it does. But it makes you kind of want to rethink that lifetime contract, huh, Coach? You're going to be working really hard until it's all said and done. And by the way, I feel bad for your wife having to argue with you about your son, and your son's making the decision for himself. And he's right. But I get back to the question, because I remember the last time we had you on, we talked to you about the one-and-dones and how you encourage them to come, and how your job is to get them to the NBA or get them ready to the NBA. If they decide to go or not, that's up to them ultimately. But when you look at your roster every year, and it's new, and you're looking in the transfer portal. I know Kerry Blackshear, he's coming to visit soon. But you have these other kids that came, maybe didn't go. You got these other ones that you're recruiting. I mean, it's overwhelming. How do you manage that conversation with these kids who come to Kentucky, which is an iconic organization and school, and they know it's a stepping stone, but there's only one basketball, and there's only five guys out there at one time. How do you manage it?
Well, first of all, we've graduated 20 kids in 10 years. We've graduated 4 players in 3 years. We've had 3 players in the NBA that have college degrees. So we're at Kentucky. You can do everything. You can get great kids, great players. There are some kids that leave after a year. P.J. Washington helped himself and stayed a second year. Willie Cauley helped himself and stayed 3 years.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all on different tracks. But here's what I would tell you. Kind of exciting. Like, this year's team, you know, every year we're ranked in the top 2 or 3 or 4. And I'm like, how? You don't even know my team. I don't know my team. But it's exciting.
They know you, though, Coach. They know you.
Well, I don't know about that. Well, that's why I'm surprised they rate us that high. But I would say that this thing, if you're about these kids and you tell the truth, look, everybody's hammering us in recruiting, and they figured out what Cal says. So here's what you come back and you say. Arrogant, he won't promise you you're going to start. He won't promise you how many shots. We will, and we can guarantee this and this, and he won't. And all of a sudden, you're going to – why would you want to be on a team with Anthony Davis, Michael Kidd, Terrence Jones? Why would you want to be – why would you want to share? Why don't you want to just take – well, that's a great way to teach him how to be a good teammate.
Yeah.
And so our thing is, look, you got to be a servant leader in this. And I love what – Leonard said after that Game 3, I'm not playing for fans and numbers. I'm playing to win. And you know what? He's the best player on the court. And you know what else? He makes everything look easy, and it's not easy what he's doing.
Yeah.
The baskets that he's making, the shots that he's taking. And here's him comfortable in his own skin. If you want to say, I want to be the man and the only guy, or I want to be told this, you're not coming with us.
Yeah.
And we don't get everybody. Kids go other places. But you know what? I like who we get, because those kind of kids, Tiki Barbers, are drawn to Kentucky. Those kind of guys that want to be part of something but are wired and driven and self-disciplined and want to be coached and want to be pushed and want to be taught. They come with us.
Yeah. No, of course they do, because at the end of the day, you know you're not good enough to do it on your own. We're talking to John Calipari, about to enter his 11th season at the University of Kentucky, 2012.
That's 77. Now it's dog years.
Exactly.
That's 77th year.
Exactly. You know, Coach, it's interesting that you talk about KD, not KD, but Kawhi, and what he's doing in the NBA Finals, really what he's done the whole postseason, because I heard some comments about you. He is the anti-superstar of the NBA when you watch how he plays. It's not about him all the time, as we started to see that a little bit. I heard some comments about that you made about kids and how they get caught up in these individual drills. All they want to do is dribble around cones. And I remember you said, at least in the article, you said, that cone doesn't have arms, right? You got to play pickup. You got to play the games. When you think about some of the threats to college basketball, and the G League is one, because the NBA is talking about making the one-and-done rule go away. Europe is another one. When you think about the threats to the game, is it good for it? Is Is it good to give kids diversity and options rather than going the traditional college route?
Well, here's what I say. Don't believe anybody that, well, the second term, they don't go to school. They don't care about school. They don't want to go to school. Well, let me tell you, very few people, even if you went to college and you were an athlete, did you like, I'm jacked up about going to this chemistry class. I mean, there just wasn't
many. Point.
So let me just say this. So don't, when people say, well, they don't like, we've had straight A students. We've had everyone leave in good academic standing from the University of Kentucky, and how many have left after 1 year? Now, kids should be able to go out of high school. But can I tell you this? Don't change the rule. They should be able to go after 1 year, 2 years, whenever they want to go.
Yeah.
And you know what? Do you really want to have a minor league baseball? And I want to tell you, Tiki, you listen to this. If you're telling ninth and tenth graders, eighth graders, forget about academics. You can go to the NBA, and we have academies, and we got the G League, and we got every avenue. You and I know 1% of them are going to make it. Now, if they go to Kentucky, 70% of our kids get drafted, which is so stupid and ridiculous. But it's a fact. It's a number. They have like $2 billion in contracts in the current NBA right now. But that being said, 1% are going to make it. So when we encourage these kids, forget about academics. We're going to have this NBA. What's the demographic, Tiki?
Yeah.
What's the demographic we're talking about? Who's going to get hit in the mouth where we have the highest graduation rate of African Americans in the history of the NCAA? What are we doing wrong here?
Yeah.
So we're going to encourage all those kids, forget about academics. You don't need academics. Okay, what happens when they don't make it to 99%? Who's taking care of them? What's the demographic that's already, when you talk about jail and terms and all the, at a disadvantage, salary, all of it, and we're going to add to it. And you know what? Are we thinking as business people? Because I'll tell you what you'll hear. Well, we're not welfare. They made a choice to do this, and why should we have to pay for it? It was their choice and their family. Really? Really? So it was them and their mom or their uncle, and all of a sudden you're telling them and putting in front of them something that they have little chance of making. Let the kids go out of high school. Let's keep encouraging. You want to play in USA basketball? You have to have these academic standards. Let's keep encouraging kids academically, not diminish education.
Yeah, no, I mean, you make a lot of sense, right? You got to incentivize them to want to get an education, because sometimes they're their own worst enemy, thinking that the NBA is.
I mean, come on, I was the first Prop 48 coach. They made me sit out of here. Look, my family, my sisters and I are the first college educated in our family. My grandparents came through Ellis Island and did not speak English. I'm an Italian citizen. I have dual citizenship because my dad and mom were high school educated. I mean, if you talked to me in that term when I was in eighth grade, ninth grade, I wasn't worried about academics. I'm going to the NBA.
Yeah, of course.
And so I just think we're going down a path for the wrong reasons. And what we say is, well, they don't want to go to school. They don't care about school. Let them go to bed. No, you're trying to go to your end. You're trying to say, all this stuff that went on with the FBI proves my – no, it's what – you weren't involved in that, were you? Did you set it up? I mean, why are we going down this path when what we've done academically is all the right stuff?
Yeah.
University of Kentucky, Tiki, has gotten the award, the top 10% or top 10 academics, this APR that we all live by. We've gotten the award the last 4 years. Well, how your kids left? They left in good academic standing. Our kids, on average, are a 3.0, and they're not taking internet correspondence. They're not all in one class. They're students here.
Yeah, they're growing.
You know what?
They're growing into men. And that's all you can ask for, really, because eventually you have to be a man, whether you're in the NBA or not.
You ready? NBA. You know what it stands for? No boys allowed. You better be ready for that.
Yeah, you're right. And that's what happens. Event.
Right now, in New York City, I told everybody, Kevin Knox is 18. He just turned 18. It's going to take him time. Don't expect this to happen overnight. So right now, he's 19. He can't get into a bar or club for two more years, and he's playing for the Knicks.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it takes time for these kids, and you got to be patient.
Yeah.
And if you don't think a year or two in college is good for these kids, you have no idea. You're talking stuff. Here's another one. I think kids should have to stay in school 4 years. Really, what about your son? Well, my son shouldn't. If he's real good, he should be able to go. But to everybody else's son, because I'd like to watch him play for 4 years. This ain't about you. It's not about your son. It's about these kids. What do we do that's best for them? How do we say, well, I'm concerned about my university. Guess what? I am too, but the University of Kentucky, 100 years from now, is going to be the same whether I coached here or didn't.
Yeah. No, you're right. And you got to think about the kids first and foremost, and it's hard to do that sometimes because of ulterior motives. And talking to the great John Calipari here on Tiki and Tierney. One more question for you, Coach. We only got a couple minutes here. Anthony Davis looks like he's on his way out of New Orleans. Who knows where he's going to head? It's hard to speculate. I don't know if you've talked to him at all or you've had any communications, have any ideas or thoughts, but it feels like, and you know him intimately, obviously, from the 2012 championship that we're talking about, it feels like guys want to go win championships at some point. They give it a run at whatever, wherever they got drafted, their best effort, and then ultimately it's about winning championships. You agree with that with the NBA? Because the greats seemingly only want to win the championship.
Yeah, well, that's how they're evaluated. When their careers are over, did you win a championship or not? That's how they're evaluated. Their window of opportunity is small. That's why they want to play on good teams and sometimes play together. If you're in a situation that shows no hope, you're probably going to, if you're Anthony Davis, who is a generational player and has never changed, the same guy he was when he played for us, he is now. Travels with his mom and dad and sister and his grandmother and you know, his girlfriend, his baby. I mean, this kid is exactly, he's a man, the same, but he's a generational player. And any team that can get him.
Yeah.
Like, he could play in New York based on this. Played for Kentucky and won a national title. Not just played at a school. And
no, he achieved.
He won a national title.
Yeah, he achieved at the highest level. Where do you think is best for him, Coach? What do you think he should do?
Well, I don't know if he's going to have the choices he wants, but I'm just telling you, there are organizations that if they're primed to win and they have a plan to win a championship, you start with him.
Yeah.
You give up whatever you have to give up. It's and a trade, I don't care how many players are in the trade. You ready? Whoever got the best player out of the nine, they won the trade.
Yeah,
that's my opinion.
That's what it comes down to. Coach, we got to bounce. I know you do as well. I really appreciate talking to you. It's always fun and engaging when you come on with us. Good luck in the upcoming season. I know you got a long way before you get there, but hopefully we catch up with you again down the line.
Thanks, Tiki.
Be good, Coach.
Thank you.
Coach Calipari, unbelievable. He just has soundbite a minute. I think my favorite one was playing time is hard in college basketball. And I sleep with his, talk about his son. I sleep with his mom. Can't even get on the court. His son Brad in the transfer portal. We'll see where he lands up. But Cal's great. He's always going to be great because, you know, he keeps it real. I think kids appreciate that. I think kids' parents appreciate that. We have football at the 40s coming up next. Kyle Rudolph. Where did he end up? We have him on our show many, many times. Did the Vikings do the right things? We'll hit it all at Football of the 40s. But first, let's get an update from Jay Berman. Tonight at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, make way for What's Next when CBS Sports Network brings you a WNBA showdown between the Washington Mystics and the Connecticut Sun, only on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio. This is getting borderline embarrassing. I mean, no, it's not borderline. It is embarrassingly bad as the United States has a 10-0 lead over Thailand in the inaugural game of this Women's World Cup for the U.S. 4 goals for Alex Morgan, striker extraordinaire for the U.S. We were just talking about it in the break. You can't, like, wholesale substitute in soccer. You can only get 3 substitutions, so I mean, I guess you could tell the girls to just chill, but I mean, who wants to chill? It's the World Cup. Pad those stats, girls. Pad those stats. U.S. women's national team are dominating Thailand right now. 10-0 with about 9 minutes to go. We're going to do football at the 40. Samter, are you ready? He's ready. Let's hit it.
kick, right hash mark.
40 yards on the return.
A 40-yard touchdown.
40 yards.
You love football. We love football. So we give you football every day. It's Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Tiki and Tierney's Football at the 40s is brought to you by Fidelity Investments. Fees matter. At Fidelity, you'll know what you're paying and why. Visit fidelity.com/value to invest with zero trade-offs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, NYSESIPC. You ready, Sampton? Let's hit it.
Before we start at football at the 40, I'm going to give you some football at the 40 as
football.
We see 10-0 U.S. Women's World Cup.
10-0.
The worst World Cup connected defeat ever was 2001 World Cup qualifying, where Australia beat American Samoa 31-0.
What? Are you kidding?
Yes. Archie Thompson scored an all-time international match record with 13 goals on his own.
Wow.
Yeah, that was ugly.
Wow.
But that was international qualifying. But now let's get to football with the double O and not the U. And we'll go with Kyle Rudolph, who joined us back in the Final Four when we were in Minnesota. He's joined us almost every year during our training camp two-a-days when we go from team to team. And we all thought that he was gone in Minnesota, especially after they drafted a tight end in the draft this year. And we thought he was gone. Turns out that he's going to sign a 4-year, $36 million extension to stay with the Vikings. Do you think it's a smart move for Minnesota to keep him for that kind of money, knowing they have a new young rising tight end?
Yeah, look, I do think this is the right move by the Minnesota Vikings. Kyle Rudolph is a staple there. He's been there for a long time, and obviously there's some new faces. Kirk Cousins, Irv Smith is the tight end that they drafted. Sitting on top of my head, thank you, Sam, for bringing it to me. Irv Smith is a great player himself. And Kyle Rudolph, though, is the leader of the squad. And sometimes you need continuity with the cap rising. It's not, this isn't an overly punitive deal. I think it's four years? They didn't give the $36 million. 4 years, $36 million. So it's not egregiously high. I think it's the right number. It's under $10 million, $8.5 million. If he should not be able to fulfill the back end of it, obviously I'm sure there's reliefs. I haven't looked at the contract details, but I like this because Kyle Rudolph has been such a big part of the Minnesota Vikings for the last almost decade. So good job, Vikings, holding on to him. And Kyle Rudolph gets to finish his career at one place, which is rare in the NFL. By the way, another goal for the United States. 11-0.
11. I mean, can this even be fun? And, like, they celebrate after every one. Like, at what point do you just stop celebrating, right? If you're 50-0 in football, don't you just give the ball to the ref and walk away?
You should, but I mean, it's their job. They can't even keep the ball in the defensive side for the U.S. These girls aren't even trying for Thailand.
To be honest, I want the next goal. Kick it in, walk back to the midfield line. Stop celebrating. It's 11-0. This is embarrassing. The more you celebrate, the more you embarrass. Come on, girls. Have some sporting spirit. Anyway, going into football again with the double O's. Malcolm Jenkins of the Eagles, the outspoken safety, was expected to possibly hold out, not show up at minicamps. He wasn't the voluntary offseason program. He's being paid $8.75 a year, which is ninth among safeties. We saw what kind of money guys like Tyrann Mathieu and Landon Collins got this offseason.
Yeah.
So Malcolm Jenkins, who's made 3 straight Pro Bowls, is expected to make that kind of money, kind of upset with this deal. So we see different kinds of guys, you know, holding out, not holding out.
Yeah.
What do you think is the best way for Jenkins to approach this?
Look, he's an old head, not that old. He's only 31 years old. But it's interesting, the safety market in particular. 2 years ago, there was no biting at safety. None. Guys couldn't get deals. No one could. Eric Reed is the prime example. Now, maybe that had something to do with the Colin Kaepernick Association, but not just him. Nobody in the safety market was moving. Last year, at least this year, there's been a ton of movement, and the price has really skyrocketed. And you can't help it when you're a perennial Pro Bowl-type player, you're the leader of a team, you helped lead your team to a Super Bowl a year ago, to feel a little bit disgruntled when guys that you feel are not as good as you are making more than you. And that's all Malcolm Jenkins was trying to accomplish by sitting out the voluntary portion. But again, it's the voluntary portion. If he had sat out, the mandatory portion, this mini camp, then there would have been some concerns. There are no concerns. Malcolm Jenkins will be the leader of this Philadelphia Eagles defense. And the U.S. women's national team scores again, 12-0. I mean, it's almost a joke at this point. Was that who was that?
That was Alex Morgan, number five.
Alex Morgan again.
Number five for Alex.
She have a double hat trick here.
Well, looks like she might be going to the sideline. But she, like, jumped into a player's arms. Like, what are you celebrating?
Sam, hurry up. Get to the question. They're going to score the next one. Hurry up.
Seriously, every single time. So we talked yesterday how Tyreek Hill.
Back to football with the double O's.
Yes. I know I have to go back and forth to this. It's unbelievable. So we talked yesterday about Tyreek Hill, how there's no investigation anymore. Turns out now that the police believe that the toddler in question got injured by just bracing himself in a fall, had nothing to do with Tyreek Hill. Mm. And the report goes on to state that his ex-fiancée, Crystal Espinal, may have asked a third party to call police and blame Hill for the injury. Mm. And maybe that recording may have been just a setup to get Hill in trouble.
Wow.
We saw what happened with other players. Reuben Foster is one of them, who we saw false accusations against them.
Yeah.
It's a really slippery slope for some of these guys just don't know if it's real or
you're
fake.
Right. You're right. And this is very complicated because they have a child together. But I'm correct, Samter, in remembering that this is the girl from college also, right? So there's a long history here between Tyreek Hill and Mrs. Espinal. She's the girl that Tyreek Hill actually did get in trouble for. I think he pleaded no contest for choking her. And that audio was really, like, disturbing, the 911 call from back when he was in college. Look, he's a great player. I hate to think that that's what's going to ultimately prevail here, because I think we get an idea of his attitude towards this female, and I think that's probably enough for the commissioner to pass down some judgment. It's toxic, and even though he is being not exonerated, but I guess cleared of wrongdoing here, there's still like a stain that feels like it's hanging over him right now. This one's going to be an interesting to see how it plays out and how the commissioner ultimately handles it.
The U.S. did not score in between questions, so it's still 12-0. Oh, wait, here we go. And wait. Oh, literally at that moment. It's unbelievable. So we discussed, obviously, a lot of international play. We had these London series, the Mexico series. It turns out that there's going to be some games played in Canada this year, a preseason game between the Packers and the Raiders.
Uh-huh.
Turns out the tickets are getting kind of pricey up there. $112 is the cheapest ticket available. So seems like, you know, the market for NFL football all over the world is pretty big.
Well, look, it's Canada, and they have Canadian football, which is a version of what we play. It's only three downs, not four. But still, they're familiar with the game. It's not like they're watching it like, oh, what's going on? I don't understand these rules. But let's also not forget that the two teams that are playing in this game are the Raiders, which are almost the NFL's international team because everybody knows the Raiders, and the Green Bay Packers, who are up in Milwaukee and close to the Canadian border in some regards. And so their history, their long championship history going back to the 60s, if there's one team that you know internationally, it's probably the Packers and the Raiders. So there's some interest simply because of the two teams. I think it's a smart move by the NFL to bring these two teams who are in very interesting situations. Obviously, we expect them both to be better this coming season than they were last season, and it could be a way to entice a whole new group of fans to buy into the NFL. The internationalization of the league is the only way I think the NFL continues to make incrementally more money.
Still no U.S. goal, but 3 minutes of extra time. What kind of 3 minutes extra time do you need in a 12-0 game?
No, you don't. I don't even care. But they got integrity. Integrity
anyway,
of the referee.
Top of your head, best quarterback in the NFL right now is?
Top of my head, it's Tom Brady.
Okay. Well, according to Cam Jordan of the Saints, maybe a little bit biased, but he has some other ideas about who it might be.
Would you say Drew's the best quarterback in the entire league?
Isn't that obvious? Year in, year out? I mean, he doesn't get the MVP year in, year out, but eventually he's due. I mean, he's throwing more 5,000-yard seasons than Drew Brees.
Cam, no, it's not obvious because, one, Tom Brady won a Super Bowl, and two, wait a minute, Pat Mahomes threw for 50 touchdowns.
But we're going to talk about, you know, how Pat Mahomes took an already playoff caliber team to another
playoff. Okay.
Good job. We're going to talk about Tom Brady, who's been winning Super Bowls. I'd like to see, you know, Tom without Bill Belichick.
Mm. Ouch.
13-0,
that was with the NFL Network.
13-0. 13-0.
Another one. Was that Alex? The number six for Alex? No, she's gone. That's Carly Lloyd, maybe. That's ugly. Anyway, so does he have a point, though? That Drew has – now, granted, you want to say Tom hasn't done anything without Belichick.
Of course
What's Drew done without Sean?
Of course he has a point. Drew Brees is unbelievable. I've talked about this many times. His number of 5,000-yard seasons, which is more than the rest of the 5,000-yard seasons combined from other players. I think he has five or six, and there's only four other players that have 5,000-yard seasons. He's amazing, and he does it despite the stature. I love Drew Brees, but I can't say he's the best. I think Cam Jordan's feeling good. Did he just get a contract extension? So I think maybe he's just feeling good because he's going to be there. 3-year deal. Don't have much money, but he's extended. So he's just being happy. That was on the NFL Network. So you feel platitudes when you're on the NFL Network.
Everyone is riding that Browns train in the AFC North. Maybe the Ravens with their young quarterback. Maybe the Steelers with their aging quarterback. But nobody is counting on the Bengals to do anything this year. And running back Joe Mixon says, maybe you shouldn't be underestimating us.
You know, I feel it's a new life. It's a new feel out there, and everybody, you know, is starting to buy. They're all starting to buy in. I believe that we're definitely going to be, you know, a real life contender coming up here this next season. I mean, you know, people sleep on us and things like that, but, you know, that's fine. We'll let them sleep. But at the same time, you know, I believe we're going to come over and you're going to shock a lot of people.
That's with SiriusXM NFL Radio. How many wins do you give the Bengals? Do you see them out of the cellar, or
shock
are they the
a
last
lot of people.
Team?
I think they, I'm going to say they're at six or seven win season for the Bengals. Their biggest issue was their quarterback. What are they going to do? Now, they drafted Ryan Finley in the fourth round, which a lot of people believe is going to be one of the steals of the draft. Because in their minds, Ryan Finley was right akin to Daniel Jones, who was drafted in the first round. Their skill sets are similar, size is similar, athleticism, etc. The Andy Dalton question is what the Bengals need to figure out. Is he going to be there? I don't think so. I think the answer is no. And if not, you need your answer going forward. They do have some really good skill position players, though. Joe Mixon being one. He just heard from Giovanni Bernard's getting a little bit old, but he still is a viable player as a backup, a number two, a change of pace, as you like to say. Tyler Boyd had a great season last year, and A.J. Green. Like, they have the skill position guys there. The question is going to be, how do they put it all together with the quarterback position? If they have good play from their quarterback, Andy Dalton or whoever, then I think they can be more competitive than a lot of people are expecting, especially under the new head coach, Zach Taylor, who you know is going to bring in a new, different, hopefully more innovative offensive system.
Gotta do this one quick, but could there be a quarterback controversy brewing with the Giants?
Mm-hmm. I think we're going to play the very best player, and I know we're dancing around the words there, but right now Eli's getting ready to have a great year, and Daniel's getting ready to play, and, you know, you just see what happens with it. You know, we feel good about where Eli is. He's our starting quarterback, and we've got a young player that we think is going to be an outstanding player, getting himself ready to play.
That was head coach Pat Shurmur. Any chance that Daniel Jones beats out Eli this year?
To start the beginning of the season? No, that's not going to happen. But if you're going to ask me that question after 8 weeks, I wouldn't be surprised. We don't know what we're going to get from Eli. It's a new system. It's a new world for him. Odell is no longer there. Sterling Shepard, really Golden Tate, is your number one guy. Saquon Barkley is one of the best running backs in the league. I think look for halfway through the season. That's where you have to make an evaluation on whether you want to stick with Eli or go forward with Daniel Jones. What does Kevin Durant's injury mean for this summer's free agency frenzy? We'll discuss next. He continues, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.